In your Bibles, we're in Psalm chapter number 12, and as you're there, we're talking about defense of our Bible, the King James Version of the Bible, and in that, we're on the lesson dealing with the watershed issue of preservation. And last week, I showed you, if we could go to slide number 2 on the PowerPoint. Slide number 2. But last week we ended by showing you different doctrinal statements that may have inspiration in them or inerrancy in them, maybe even infallibility, but not preservation. And I wanted to review the doctrine of divine providential preservation is the work of God whereby through His sovereign providence and using human instrumentality, He has kept the inspired and errant words of the autographs, that's the original documents, all right, intact down through the ages in the traditional Hebrew and Greek manuscripts and the traditional texts so that we have the Word of God or the words of God today. And we have them in the English in our King James Bible because of the accurate translation of the underlying text. Remember, we've talked about autographs, we've talked about texts or manuscripts, and then we've talked about text. And so today I want to go to slide number 18. If you're up in the sound room, just take me to slide number 18. And we want to look at a number of supports in the Scripture for our Bible. And our interpretation of Scripture, we believe that the premillennial dispensational interpretation of Scripture must always be followed in interpreting Scripture. Further, the plain literal sense of the Scripture should be sought unless the context or related passages of Scripture indicates otherwise. Interpretation is important. But if we don't interpret from an inspired, inerrant, preserved Word of God, then obviously we don't have a good foundation. And so that's the doctrine of interpretation in our doctrinal statement. And then if we go up a slide, this is the doctrine of preservation. Here's what we have in our doctrinal statement. We further believe that every word of the inspired Scriptures has been preserved by God for the English-speaking people in the authorized King James Version, which we believe to be the infallible or inerrant Word of God. We reject all of the modern English versions. Do you see the key words there? The inspired Word of God, the inerrant, infallible Word of God, but the preserved Word of God. All of those elements are in our doctrinal statement because all of them are key doctrines when we refer to the doctrine of the Bible. And I want to give you support for that doctrine, the doctrine of preservation. And we'll start this morning with some important notes. Without preservation, inspiration means little. Inspiration will only stand as long as preservation stands. When we no longer believe that we have the words of God, what is the value of the words of God if they are inspired but lost? They're somewhere, but we don't know where they're at. Okay, God inspired His words that we don't have today. How does that help me? How does that help you? That's the problem with a doctrinal statement that says this. We believe that the Bible is inspired in the original autographs. And then they leave out the doctrine of preservation. Which, by the way, there's a lot of Baptist churches that have that belief today. We believe the Bible's inspired in the original autographs, but they will not take the next step and believe in Bible preservation or the preservation of the Scriptures. We don't have the originals. None of us have the originals. We have manuscripts. There are manuscripts today that are copies of the originals that we have, but nobody has the originals. You can't lay your hand on an original today. And so, if it's only in the originals, then we don't have the Word of God. That's a scary thought. Second thing I want you to think about as we look at support for doctrine, for the doctrine of preservation, is that God preserved His Word through the Jewish people. Now, in our Bibles, in Romans chapter number 3, and you can look it up in your Bible or you can look at the screen here, the Bible says this: what advantage then hath the Jew, or what profit is there of circumcision? Much every way, chiefly because that unto them were committed the oracles of God, or the scriptures, the Old Testament scriptures, were committed to the Jewish people. One of the things that you need to understand is that God's preservation has always included God's people. Old Testament, the Jewish people. New Testament, the church. Okay? The oracles of God were committed to the Jewish people. Though the Jews were not perfect, they were the people of God, and he committed unto them the Old Testament. Now, let's go to Deuteronomy chapter number 31. Deuteronomy chapter 31, and let's look at verses 24 through 26. The Bible says, "And it came to pass when Moses had made an end of writing the words of this law in a book until they were finished, that Moses commanded the Levites, which bear the ark of the covenant of the Lord, saying, take this book of the law and put it in the side of the ark of the covenant of the Lord your God, that it may be there for a witness against thee." Don't throw it away. What was he telling the priests, the Levites? Preserve it. Preserve it in the ark of the covenant here. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 17. Deuteronomy chapter number 17. Look at verse number 18. As we look at this concept of God preserving his word to the Jewish people. "And it shall be when he sitteth upon the throne of his kingdom that he shall write him a copy of this law in a book out of that which is before the priest of the Levites." Every 7 years, it was the priest's responsibility to read the law to all of Israel. God's law was sometimes trampled on, ignored, cast in the shadows, but it was never destroyed. God's law was preserved. Look at Deuteronomy chapter number 30, or 2 Kings chapter number 22. In 2 Kings 22, "And Hilkiah the high priest said unto Shaphan the scribe, I have found the book of the law in the house of the Lord. And Hilkiah gave the book to Shaphan, and he read it." The book was found, and the book was read. We still have the Hebrew Old Testament in the Masoretic text, going back to about 1000 A.D. And when we compare those texts to the text from 150 and 250, we find that God preserved his word for us. My, if you ever want to dig and trace how God's preserved his word all the way up through, you talk about a wonderful study. I can't go into all the detail, but it is a wonderful study. When they copied the Hebrew text into the Masoretic text, the copying of the Masoretic text that underlies our King James, the copies by the Masoretes began around the 6th century. Here are some of their stringent rules when they copied. Each column must have no less than 48 or more than 60 lines. The entire copy must be first lined. So they lined the copies out. No word or letter could be written from memory. That's pretty careful, isn't it? The scribe must read and pronounce aloud each word before writing it. So the scribe's the one copying it. He must read and he must pronounce out the word aloud before he wrote it. If three mistakes were found on any page in the quality control, so to speak, part of the copy, the entire manuscript was condemned. If they just found three on a page, the whole thing was gone. Every word and every letter was counted. If a letter was omitted and an extra letter inserted of one letter or one letter touched the other, the manuscript was condemned and destroyed. The Jewish scribes, when they wrote the name of God in any form, were to reverently wipe their pen wash their whole body before writing Jehovah, lest that holy name be tainted in writing. Folks, this was not a casual thing. This was not a careless thing. This is the Word of God. And it was committed to the Jewish people. And God used the Jewish people to preserve the Old Testament. And we have it today. Preservation is taught implicitly in the New Testament. The Lord Himself and other writers in the New Testament recognized the authority and accuracy and trustworthiness of the Old Testament scriptures and had no problem quoting from the Old Testament and referring to it as scripture. Brethren, don't think today that the Old Testament is less inspired or less inerrant or less applicable to us than the New Testament. All of the Bible is verbally and plenarily inspired, equal inspired in all of its parts. Every time a New Testament author quotes from the Old Testament, it is a testimony of preservation, isn't it? Because remember, our Old Testament, end of the Old Testament, is Malachi. And from Malachi to Matthew in the New Testament, there are 400 years. 400 years is a long time. Think about going back to 1621 today. A lot different in the world in 1621. A lot of different writings back then than there are today. A whole bunch of things that have kind of fell by the wayside. And the writings that they quote from, you get into the Isaiahs and you get into the Jeremiahs and you go back to the Deuteronomies, you know, you're not talking just 400 years, you're talking hundreds of years, some of those writings back a couple thousand years. And the New Testament is quoting from it, pointing to the fact that the Old Testament words were preserved for the New Testament authors to be able to reflect and bring those scriptures in. And so look at what Jesus said. We'll look at Jesus' words first in Matthew 21, verse number 42. Jesus saith unto them, did ye never read in the scriptures? What's he referring to? Old Testament. What's he call them? The scriptures or the writings, all right? Speaking of God's writings with authority. Did ye never read in the scriptures, the stone which the builder rejected, the same has become the head of the corner? This is the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. Look at Luke 20, or John chapter 5. But if go over to Luke chapter 20, if you will. Luke chapter 20, we'll come to John chapter 5 in just a second. But in Luke chapter 20, look at verse number 42. Luke 20. And verse number 42, implicitly the scriptures point to the doctrine of preservation. Luke 20, verse number 42, Brother Jared, could you stand and read that for us?
And David himself saith in the book of Psalms, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou upon my right hand.
Where are we quoting from? The book of Psalms, I mean the Bible, the New Testament, very clear here. And the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand. Wait, he had to have somewhere to pull that from. Right. He didn't pull that out of thin air and just imagine those words were spoken. No, David said these things and he said them in the book of the Psalms. Turn to Matthew 24, Matthew chapter 24. Every time the Old Testament's quoted, it is a proof of preservation. Matthew 24, verse number 15. Wherefore, when ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, stand in the holy place, whose readeth, let him understand. Question, does the book of Daniel talk about the abomination of desolation? Oh, yes, it does. If we had time to go back to Daniel 9, you could read all about it. And so the New Testament is quoting the book of Daniel, written hundreds of years earlier, and saying what Daniel wrote has authority, is accurate, And if you go back and read it, you can see this. John chapter 5, verse number 39. Jesus is speaking to the Jews, and he says, "Search the Scriptures." Now, wait a second. We get to John chapter 5. We don't have the New Testament canon finished. They don't have Romans. They don't have 1st and 2nd Corinthians. What's he referring to? He's referring to Old Testament Scriptures. And the Old Testament Scriptures, he says, testifies of him. Does the law, the first five books of the Bible, testify of Christ anywhere that you may know? Genesis 3, verse 15, talks about the seed of the woman crushing the serpent's head, testifies of Christ. So Jesus is writing about Old Testament Scriptures, and he's telling them, you could have searched the Old Testament Scriptures. We don't have them anymore. Or he's telling them to what? Currently search the Old Testament Scriptures, meaning that they still had access to the Old Testament Scriptures in Jesus' day. Now, brethren, a church that throws out the doctrine of preservation, you might as well throw out all of these verses. And you might as well throw out every reference to Old Testament Scriptures in the New Testament or any quote. The Bible implicitly teaches us through these Scriptures that, guess what? His Word is preserved. God preserves his word. Look at, we'll go to the next slide. Luke chapter 16, verse number 29. Abraham saith unto him, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. When the rich man wanted Lazarus to go to his brother's house, we're talking about that story in Luke 16, where the rich man died and in hell he lifted up his eyes. And so Abraham saith unto him, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. Question, were Moses and the prophets alive when Abraham is speaking here? I don't believe so. All right? And so what is he saying? You have the Old Testament Scriptures. You have the books of the law. You have the prophets. Hear them. They spoke of me. Did not Isaiah speak of Christ in Isaiah 53, the great passage on the suffering of Christ? They have that. And he goes on to argue, if they won't hear them, then they won't hear me either. Great study here. Romans chapter 9, verse number 17. Romans 9, 17. For the Scripture saith unto Pharaoh, even for this same purpose have I raised thee up, that I might show my power in thee, and that my name might be declared through all the earth. Again, Paul is writing to Jewish and Gentile Christians in Rome, and he's referring back to an Old Testament character. He's referring back to an Old Testament passage that they would have been familiar with, that God had a purpose for Pharaoh, pointing to the fact that all of that is preserved. Preservation is explicitly taught in the Scriptures. Explicitly taught. And before we get to that slide, here's what the Bible says in Acts 17. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the Scriptures daily whether those things were so. Question. In Acts chapter 2, did Peter preach from the New Testament or the Old Testament? He preached from the Old Testament. All right? We don't have a New Testament. All right? And so we get to Acts 17, this early church time, and the Bereans were searching the Scriptures daily. Well, that means that they had a copy of the Scriptures. Bereans, plural. These, plural, were more noble in that they, plural, searched the Scriptures daily. Multiple people had access to the copy of the Scriptures. Why? Because God preserved His Word. Listen, I want you to leave today not thinking, ooh, I don't know if I believe the doctrine of preservation. I want you to leave, there's no doubt in my mind that God preserved His Word. And He's preserved His Word for us today. when the Ethiopian eunuch, when Philip came to the Ethiopian eunuch, what was he reading? He was reading the prophet of Isaiah, wasn't he? And the Ethiopian eunuch came unto him and said, understandest thou what thou readest? He was reading a copy of the scriptures. So for somebody to say that God cannot preserve his word for hundreds of years is a very foolish statement. It's an ignorant statement when we look at the Bible itself. It's explicitly taught in Psalm 105 in verse number 8. The Bible says, he hath remembered his covenant forever, the word which he commanded to 1,000 generations. That's a lot of generations. Interesting. If we go to the next slide, we're in Isaiah 59. We're in verse number 21. As for me, this is my covenant with them, saith the Lord. My spirit that is upon thee, and my words which I have put in thy mouth, shall not depart out of thy mouth, nor out of the mouth of thy seed, nor out of the mouth of thy seed's seed, saith the Lord, from henceforth and forever. I'm going to give my words. They're going to go into your mouth. They're going to go into your seed's mouth. And it's not just going to last that long. It's going to last forever. That's an explicit statement about how long God wants his words to last. Let's go to John chapter 10. Preservation is explicitly taught in the New Testament. John chapter 10, verses 35 and 30. If we read through the whole passage here, beginning with verse number 22, and I don't have it printed, but basically the Jews were asking Jesus to tell them if he was the Christ. And in that passage of Scripture, he talks about my sheep hear my voice. He says, I told you that I was the Christ, you believed me not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. And they were ready to stone him for blasphemy. Bible says in verse number 31, then the Jews took up stones again to stone him. Jesus answered them in verse 32, many good works have I showed you from my Father. For which of those works do ye stone me? Jesus always answered questions with questions, many times. The Jews answered him, saying, for a good work we stone thee not, but for blasphemy, because that thou being a man makest thyself God. Jesus answered them, is it not written in your law, I said, ye are gods? Now, what was Jesus referring to here? He's referring to Psalm 82. If you have time in your Bibles, go to Psalm chapter 82. Basically, Jesus was letting them know that he had knowledge and that he was indeed the one who was God speaking in Psalm 82. Why? Because they would have thought that a man would be living when Psalm 82 was written. And Jesus said, isn't it me that said the words in Psalm 82? So in Psalm 82, look at verse number 1. This is an interesting study. Stick with me this morning. In Psalm 82, verse number 1, God standeth in the congregation of the mighty. He judgeth among the gods. Now look at verse 6. Somebody who has Psalm 82, can you read verse 6? Dave?
I have said ye are gods, and all of you are children of the Most High.
Okay, so when we go back to John chapter 10, and Jesus says, answered them, is it not written in your law, I said, ye are gods. You know what Jesus was pointing to? He existed before birth. He's pre-existed hundreds of years before. I spoke those words to you. Now watch this. Watch this. He uses the word gods, doesn't he? In John 10, he uses the word gods. In Psalm 82, what is the word that is used? Gods, right? In verse number 1 and verse number 6. Did you know that Jesus banked his authority to speak to the Jews by not only showing his pre-existence, but showing that the authority of the scriptures are vested in his words down to the word God's. That word's preserved. Now, interesting, if you go to your NAS, New American Standard Bible, and you look at the word in Psalm 82 in verse number 6, it'll be the word rulers. So if we're reading in John 10, verse 35, and the Bible says there, if he called them gods unto whom the word of God came, and the scripture cannot be broken. They changed the word gods to rulers. Uh-oh. We don't have preserved words at that point. But God said about his own word, Jesus Christ said about his own word, the scriptures, the chain of words cannot be broken. You can never, I won't allow, watch this, I won't allow a word in the chain to be broken. And he gives the evidence by going back to Psalm 82 and latching on to the word God's and bringing that over and showing, you have no right to stone me with blasphemy because I am God. The word of God came unto me, Jesus is saying. Very, very strong argumentation there for preservation. When we come back next week, we will look at the phrase, it is written in the New Testament, as another proof of preservation. And then we will get into the doctrinal erosion in the modern translations. I'm going to show you time after time again where they have attacked and withdrew doctrine or changed words to water down doctrine. When we come back next week, we'll deal with that in depth. Hope the study's helpful to you. And here's my prayer. My prayer is your confidence and your faith in your Bible gets stronger and stronger as we study these things.
Thank you for joining us by way of the internet today. We're so glad that you were able to be with us, and we pray that the service was a blessing to your heart. Even though the sermon is over, our service is not over. At the end of our service, we give an opportunity for people to respond and come to an altar and pray over what God dealt with them about. Sometimes people come to call upon Christ and to be saved. Others come to make a decision for Christ regarding their Christian lives. Others come to call out to the Lord about special needs and situations in their lives. Maybe God has dealt with you today about some specific area of your life. I invite you to make an altar right there in your home, a quiet time before the Lord where you pray to Him and respond to Him about what He has spoken to you about. If you made a decision for the Lord today, we would be glad to hear about that decision and or answer any questions you have today about the message that was preached. You can contact us by way of email at info@mountziononline.org or by way of phone at 717-927-9227. Again, we thank you for joining us today, and we look forward to you joining us again for our live stream weekly on Sundays at 10:45 a.m. and on Sunday evenings at 6:45 p.m. If we can meet a need in your life, please do not hesitate to contact us. Thank you, and God bless you.